This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
Here we go. Hour number three, G-Bag Nation 105 through the fan. We're about an hour and 40 minutes from Rangers pregame. They're going to visit the Braves tonight. If you remember last year's series at the Globe, as I do so well, you might remember the Braves took 2 of 3 from the Rangers last year, including 12-0 in the series finale, as I recall that off the top of my head. Cody Bradford debuted, got rocked.
Yeah,
you know, you've had some success against them last year, but now you're in their house and hoping to return the favor. And you know how the Rangers do on the road against World Series contenders, Brian.
They don't lose.
Nope, they don't. So it should be an epic series. And again, the pregame's coming up at about 5:45 there. And it's we're going to have Eric Nadell on at 5:20. Okay, so there won't be what you're drinking and what you're thinking today. We'll resume that glory next week. It's time now for our proper round tripper. Let's go around the bases, brought to you by Uber Eats. And we start with this Corey Seager article by Tim Kirkchen, ESPN. Seager's left-handed swing is gorgeous, rhythmic, elegant. It's an aesthetic marvel. It's art rooted in its science. Seager's a baseball engineer, writes Timmy, building complex processes on the fly. Every movement has meaning. And the end product, the swing, is a one-man symphony. And yet, Seager lives with perpetual anxiety, worrying that all of the time and effort and energy he devotes to his swing could desert him at the most inopportune moment. For all the offense his swing produces, it exists equally as a defense mechanism. Seager's infatuation is also his torment. He's like a dang near a mad scientist. And I don't know if he's a sympathetic figure. You tell me. He's obviously on top of the world, but there's a lot of insecurity. I don't know if this is healthy, Brian. He says, the fear of failure. Failure definitely drives me more than anything else. It's a great story. I would suggest anybody go and read it, all Rangers fans, just to understand him more. You know, he's always been a quiet guy, and you're wondering, like, man, what's going on in there? And I think it's complete obsession with his next AB. And on top of that, it's almost a constant obsession with the angles of his swing. He's constantly in the mirror, and before every at-bat, when he knows he's about to come up or get in the hole or whatever, he goes down the tunnel and gets in front of a mirror where he can look for all of these indicators as he's going through his swing and trying to, you know, hit the perfect points that'll give him the best opportunity to get a hit against this guy.
I love that he said, like, in every ballpark in the sport, he knows exactly where the mirror is to go to before every at bat. So somewhere every ballpark's got a mirror that Corey Seager is very familiar with.
Yeah. And they compare him to like Kobe and Tom Brady with work ethic and grinder mentality. So it's important to note that not many players can obsess like this and sort of maintain a level performance consistently. It would drive most players mad.
Can I throw a theory out there about him from what you just said?
Sure.
He swings at a lot of first pitches, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you think he has anxiety about being at the plate?
100%.
And wants to get it over with? You
Possibly.
Understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I'm just throwing it out.
That mimics his social
patterns.
I'm
just throwing it out there that he is so anxious that he's not interested in being like Carter or any of those other guys that just take a bunch of pitches. It's such anxiety for him to be at the plate, the strive for perfection.
There's a passage in there where he's talking about how it's misery to be in the batter's box.
I wonder if the way he attacks first pitches is like, I'm going to get a hit, and I'm going down to first base.
I don't have
to stand here any longer than I have to.
You know, listening to his wife or reading his wife's quotes in this story, you can tell that's how he is socially. And she had to ultimately convince him, like, look, Corey, we're going to go out and people are going to approach you.
Yeah.
And it's going to be fine. Okay. You're going to get through these social interactions. But I think there is a ton of anxiety, you know, almost to the point of possibly being a disorder of some kind. But he processes it and manifests it into absolute sports genius.
It is.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful swing. And it's so, and you could tell it's so, because I watch him, you know, on the you know, from the center field camera shots, and you could see as soon as the pitcher gets the ball or say he fouls one off, he's standing there ready again. He doesn't fidget with his batting glove, excuse me, or pull on the corner of his shirt. He literally fouls the ball off and stands there and staring at the pitcher. Like, he doesn't want to do anything else other than find the pitch, hit the ball, and go on his way.
Yeah, the mechanics, it's very detailed.
You know, some hitters, they fidget with the way they stand, they play with their gloves, they step back, they call time, they do. Corey Seager will stand there, and there's, I mean, like a three-pitch at bat.
Yeah.
Foul one off. Foul another one off. Maybe a strike three looking kind of a thing, and then you could see him go back. But rarely do you see him just completely. Now, he's had some, in the playoffs, he had some walks. I remember him walking quite a bit. Maybe that's a, but it just seems like to me he just, he agonizes standing there. And then when he gets, and then you see the swing and you're like, gosh, how beautiful is that?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
like
they
Will
say.
Will Clark reminds me, I mean, that's from my era of a left-handed stick. That's, you know, that just that swing that was just so beautiful. And when it made contact, it was going to all, you know, had a little power, a little pop to it.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a base hit here, double here, you know, one the opposite way here. I just wonder if he just deals with that in a way of like, man, I don't want to be here any longer than I have to be.
No,
here.
There's a lot of that. Like the text is pointing out, he doesn't want to be the center of attention. He doesn't want anyone watching him. It's an insecurity. You know, I don't know exactly what it is, but there's a lot of detail in that story where he doesn't even want to talk about himself because then it becomes a topic and it distracts him away from his obsession with the swing. And, you know, I think a lot of players, they get to a point where they're feeling good and then they just go out there and naturally play. Because, like, obsessing over all the details, but he understands that that muscle memory is sort of evasive, you know. And anybody that's tried to repeat a golf swing two in a row, it's like, wow, how can I know exactly what I need to do, but I can't repeat it, right? So you get to a point where you feel comfortable and you're like, okay, I can play natural now. I'm just swinging. I'm just having fun. He is in that mindset of trying to tweak every single at bat. And I just find that fascinating. I don't know how that could be fun for anybody.
I know. He is definitely a unique breed with the way he attacks it. There's like an OCD nature to it.
Maybe that's it.
And he wakes up every morning, as you said, with just, it's a brand new day, and we're rebuilding this swing from top to bottom every single day. And he carries around, and they mention it in the story, and you see it anytime. If you're around the team, it could be spring training, it could be a game day. When you're around the clubhouse, you'll see Seager walking in and around, and he's got his little tripod with his camera because he is obsessively doing his swings. He's videoing them and he's watching them. And the story reads that his swings, like, he's got clips that go all the way back into like his minor league days where, cause he wants to, I mean, he just has all of that, and it is a crazy obsession. And the swing, he says, like, you know, some guys would rather like give them the option, have the perfect swing or know what pitch is coming. He's like, give me the perfect swing every time. Yeah. And I saw that too. Interesting. He's got a 20/20 vision is like the standard, right? Or for like pretty perfect.
Perfect. Yeah.
He's 20/12.5.
Dang.
So like his vision is absolutely ridiculous, which obviously helps him. And I just thought that was a fun little nugget in there. But yeah, he'd rather have the perfect swing. He's worrying about him. He's like, if I handle what I got to handle for with my swing, I don't even need to worry about what this pitcher's trying to do to me right now.
Yeah, yeah. And there's this great story in there where he's still with the Dodgers in 21, I think, and he's facing this guy who like hadn't given up a home run in like 2 years with this rising fastball high in the zone. And as the story leads into it, Corey Seager was ready for it because he also uses this intensity and preparedness to look at film and study guys. And guy threw him a first pitch, high fastball, and he put it out.
Yeah.
And the people in the ballpark that understood how difficult that was were just marveling at, you know, his ability to do something that literally nobody else in the sport had been able to do for 2 years.
Crazy. And you talk about, he says, this is a quote from Seager in the story, as much as I hate the mental grind, I love going in there and fixing the puzzle. I think that's what draws me back.
Huh.
So it's like I do hate the mental grind of this, but also just I have this, I have this desire within me every day to treat my swing like a puzzle, and every little piece matters so much, and it's as detailed as anything in all of sports.
It's like an extreme growth mindset where he doesn't believe in the talent at all. All of my success is a result of my hard work, right? And that's why I'm great. And people that have that mindset in sports get higher than the guys who just know they were, you know, born to do something.
Yeah, yeah, because he talks about like being uncomfortable in the box at times. And it's really, I mean, it's the fear of failure is something that really drives him. But if he doesn't feel prepared, and he's like Mr. Overprepared, but he's like, there's no worse feeling than being in a bad spot in a major league batter's box. And I like the context, I believe, is just the bad spot being like not prepared and just slightly off your game, not dialed in to the point that he usually is. Now all of a sudden you find yourself in the batter's box, even as Corey Seager, and he describes it as there is no worse feeling. He says, knowing you're in a bad spot, not being able to compete, you're just by yourself. It's an empty, bad place to be. You have no chance. These guys are way too good and nobody's coming to save you.
Wow. The article, ESPN.com, Tim Kirkchin, if you want to dive in there. If you don't, my recommendation is if you see Corey Seager out in public, like, do him a massive favor and leave him alone.
Yes, dude. Yes, locally here, like, he talks about times where, I don't know, if I guess this was when he was in Los Angeles, and it was like he didn't feel like he could go out. He just was just staying inside constantly until his wife finally was like, no, hey, we're going out, and you're going to just figure out how to deal with the level of fame that you have and if people are coming up or whatever it is, because we can't just be stuck inside all the time. But that was like, that was his reaction to being famous, being noticed, and he wants nothing to do with it.
Okay, what else do we have here with a couple of minutes remaining in this round trip or Chiafalo?
Well, I do have a couple of baseball clips here, and we will start. Remember yesterday we had Pete Fairbanks. This was the Rays closer.
He sucked.
Yeah, this was the suck fest that he described. I had some Tolos reach out to me and point me in the direction of another clip from him after a blown save from last week. And so this is our guy Pete Fairbanks of the Rays. This is him last week. He was upset. I believe he's upset at slippery balls.
Pete, just can you kind of run through what was going on in the ninth inning? Like maybe you didn't like some of the balls that were coming in.
Yeah, they were horrible. You mark that down, all caps for me. Horrible. No excuse though. Didn't throw strikes, and that's what happens when you don't throw strikes. You get punished for it. So I'd love to see those come out of the humidor tomorrow in a little better shape before they get rubbed up, but. You know, that's nobody to blame but myself for not being able to adjust to some of the quality issues.
Dry or not smooth, or what was the issue?
There was just overall bad. I'm not going to elaborate further than that. They were not uniform from ball to ball, so there's no, I mean, dry, smooth, whatever you want to say. Just non-uniform, didn't feel right.
It just make it tough for you to grip and kind of get the ball where you want it to go?
Yeah, it's tough to throw your slider when the ball goes that way out of your hand, so...
Yeah. You can make this in bold, please. He's doing some editorial advice there to the reporter. By the way, when you write this, make sure that's in all caps. Maybe underline it as well for the people.
Does Pete do a pretty good thing about blaming and then also blaming
accepting
himself?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's kind of a, he's like, it's a terrible situation I'm in, but you know, it's my fault. I can't.
I gotta adjust. I gotta be better.
Yeah. So it seems like to me he's attacking and then kind of retreating all in the same time.
Well, let's check in with Mikey B on the Bally's broadcast. We're gonna play this sound and just ask yourself: did Mike think that with Bally's they also participated in Masterpiece of the Week?
I'd love for him to get on his hands and knees right now and fill in the holes with the dirt like Fidrich used like to do, and maybe talk to the baseball for a second.
Yeah.
That was yesterday.
Okay.
And I believe there were a couple of moments. That's the one that we were able to grab there. Mm-hmm. But Baskey doing his thing. I genuinely think he was like, I'm out on KNC all week.
Yeah.
I always win Masterpiece of the Week. How can I give myself an opportunity? It's just the competitor within Baskey, and I do respect that. And it looks like the Rangers have called up their number 9 prospect, Mr. Owen White.
Yes, sir.
And they have optioned Jack Leiter.
Yeah.
So
get the guy some hand warmers too.
Is that what just?
I think it was cold in Detroit. I don't know.
It was chilly. Okay.
Check in with Sands.
I didn't know if it was like
five.
Maybe a bit balmy. and like it was like making his hands get clammy or something. Yeah, yeah, but I don't know. I mean, we just heard Fairbanks. You don't want a slippery ball.
No.
Yeah.
Not if you're disaster. Trying to throw that slider.
That would explain a lot, though. You know, if he was dealing with a little something extra.
Yeah. Yeah. So we got to get that cleaned up. But Jack Leiter now back down, and Owen White will be up for some protection and I presume some length out of the bullpen.
Right on. Looking forward to that. A proper round tripper brought to you by our friends at Uber Eats. Okay, LA Live's coming up at 4:40, an early edition today because we'll be in Rangers pregame coming up in about an hour and a half. So LA Live 4:40. Top 10's coming up next, Chief. What do we got?
Okay, choose your own destiny. Do you want best NBA rookie seasons of all time now that Wemby has completed his first year? Or do you want the worst house chores in all of the world because National Laundry Day was the other day? You get to choose. 877-881-1053, next in the nation.
Yeah, buddy, welcome back. It is the G-Back Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Big Rangers game night. They're in Atlanta. Pregame coming up in an hour and 20 minutes right here on your home of the champs. Segment's brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. And it's brought to you by the Frankels. Life is unpredictable. Accidents happen. If you're hurt in an accident, it's not your fault. Call the Frankels, 214 or 817-333-3333. Go online to frankofirm.com. Here's the Chief with Zach's top 10.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much. 877-881-1053. The Tolos have spoken. They want to get the top 10 greatest individual rookie seasons of all time in NBA history now that Wemby's first season is now in the rear view. And he had one heck of a rookie season. Was it the best of all time? We will find out. Text in your name, your mention here, and we'll see if they've cracked the top 10. I actually have the top 11 with a little outside looking in action. But before we get to any of that, I do want to play this sound from earlier this week. Just a couple of days ago, Charles Barkley on the Pat McAfee show. Listen to this story about when he first saw Dirk Nowitzki.
I've had some of these younger players come up to me and says, the Dream Team is my first recollection of basketball in some of these foreign countries. And that's the first time, you know, I met Dirk Nowitzki and tried to pay him to come to Auburn. We played an exhibition in Germany.
You can't do that. That's illegal. Illegal.
It was illegal, but I didn't give a damn. I'm not going to lie. You know, Pat, I told this story. So we're playing in Germany. And I got Scottie Pippen, who's a great defender. I got Horace Grant, a couple other NBA players, and we play this German team. Dirk's got like 35 at halftime. And at this time, Scottie was considered the best defender or great defender. This dude finished with like 52 points. And I said, yo, man, who the hell are you? He said, my name is Dirk Nowitzki. I said, you want to go to Auburn? I'll take care of that. He says, I got to go in the Army. I said, dude, you're 7 feet tall. You're not going in the damn Army.
That's epic. I mean, the idea that he was just giving Scottie Pippen the business right there as a youngster, and Scottie being the defensive stalwart that we know he was for many years in the NBA, that is outstanding. And then the little nugget there, I mean, can you imagine Dirk having to do military things at that size? I mean, my brutal. Goodness, yeah. Dude, you're just, it's you're like
David Robinson.
You're a target.
You would not want to be in a foxhole with him.
No.
It'd be really hard to stay hidden.
You would not. It was like whenever I went, a longtime family friend from my church, when he turned like 13 or whatever, him and his buddies did a paintball party. And so I was like, his mom was like, hey, would you want to go? I was like, sure, I'll go do some paintball. But I got dominated by these kids because like the little places to go and like duck and hide are built for like a middle school kid.
Yes.
Not, and at the time I was in college and I'm like ducking. I think I'm being hit and I'm getting peppered at the top of my head because it's sticking out.
Ooh.
So it's like that would be Dirk times 10 at his size.
All I can think of is Dirk's jump shot when he first came into the league and he'd do these donkey kicks where both of his heels kind of came up. It was so weird. I'm just imagining him running around dropping like 70 with the funny release.
All right, 877-881-1053. Who do you believe had the best rookie season for an individual in the history of the NBA? And where does Wemby come on this list? Does anybody jump out? Lucius, does any NBA rookie year, Broadus, Dawson, anybody where you're like, man, as a rookie, he just came out? I mean, our own Luka was pretty unbelievable.
Ja Morant have anything? Was any good his first year?
I think John Morant was pretty dang good his rookie year. He did not crack the top 10 all time, but
Anthony Edwards probably not.
Anthony Edwards also did not crack the top.
He was like 18 years old doing this, I think.
10 all time. Yeah, these dudes come in, they're super young.
Elgin Baylor.
Elgin Baylor?
Mm-hmm.
You loved watching him?
Let's go back like pre-85 when they were spending 4 years there.
How far back
there.
You want to go? I'm just giving
they were complete
top
projects.
Tens, right?
Yeah, you know, you can go as far back as you want, bro. Let's you can talk Jordan. About Pistol Pete for all I care.
Pistol Pete, that would be probably a pretty decent one. Is that Atlanta Hawks, I believe? Was that when his rookie year with the Atlanta
Hawks?
With
the Hawks? Pistol? Yeah. Yeah, I'll take your word for it. He's not in the top 10.
Okay.
Your outside looking in is going to be rookie 05, Chris Paul.
Huh.
He was a...
Wake Forest, right?
New Orleans Hornet.
Yeah, he was terrific.
Yes. Yeah, he was awesome.
So was Darren Williams out of DFW in Illinois.
They were the same draft,
yeah,
weren't they?
Yes. There was a third one as well, who I forget right now. But, yeah, there were really good point guards in that particular draft. Obviously, Jordan has to have one of the best rookie years
yes,
ever.
Yes, Jordan will absolutely be making an appearance on this list. But yes.
Will Alcindor?
I don't think he's on this list. I don't believe he cracked the top 10 here. This is courtesy of Bleacher Report, by the way.
I was just kind of wondering. I think the Bucks won the championship his first year with the when he was in Milwaukee.
Well, that's certainly should be impressive enough to maybe crack the top 10.
I'm just
but
not going to guess anymore, okay?
No, it's fine. I love you pulling out these names here. You're going to get one of them right at some point.
Any modern names like Derrick Rose?
Yeah, Derrick Rose had a great rookie season. I was a little bit surprised to see that he did not crack the top 10 here.
Jerry West.
But LeBron James is number 10, actually.
Okay.
LeBron was 21-6-6.
Dang.
Bill Bradley?
On 42%. You know, the efficiency wasn't quite what it's become here. Mm-hmm. Obviously, with LeBron throughout his career, he's just been an efficiency monster. His rookie year was not quite that way.
Willis
but
Reed.
Just an unbelievable start to his career there. So LeBron's at number 10. Blake Griffin, recently retired Blake Griffin, 2011-2012 with the Clippers. Man, he comes in at number 9. He was 22.5 points per game, 12 boards, 4 assists, and half a block. He was doing it on 50% from the field. But he
almost
was
all dunks.
Yeah, for sure.
You couldn't stay in front of him. He'd jump over you. Mm-hmm.
The athleticism was just crazy there, just the explosiveness.
Yeah.
He racked up a franchise record 27 straight double-doubles.
Dang.
In his rookie year.
His rookie year.
Hmm.
Which was the longest double-double streak for any rookie since the NBA-ABA merger. I know Broadus was alive for that.
I was. Like David Thompson, those guys from the old Denver Nuggets. The Kentucky Colonels were
those
a good team. Dallas Chaparrals.
I thought those were the names we were going to get here. I wouldn't
I
imagine
too.
To be one-and-done guys or straight out of high school guys.
Yeah.
But congrats to them.
Yeah, I mean, we're getting a lot of... We got Larry Bird being texted in. We're getting Jeremy Lin, Magic Johnson being texted in. Dominique Wilkins from the 214-682. Probably not a top 10, but Clyde Drexler was amazing to me watching him his first year.
Yeah, Kobe Bryant, 214. He wasn't good. He was just all right.
Rookie Kobe was, yeah. Shaq getting some love. T-Max getting some love.
Dude. Yeah, Shaq. Shaq should be top 10. I mean, he took Orlando to competition very quickly.
Chris Webber, David Robinson.
Hmm.
Tim Duncan.
Tim Duncan, yeah.
Yeah,
4
Timmy
years
D.
in Wake. I think
how about Elijah
won the championship his rookie year.
Elijah?
Elijah's not on this list either. Hmm. But it's a dang good pull by you. We got Luka Doncic at number 8.
Okay.
So he cracks the top 10.
Yep.
He was 21 points, 8 boards, 6 assists. And he had, I mean, we know he came out of the gates and it was like,
crazy.
Wow, this dude's.
We saw it in preseason. Like, oh my goodness, they got one.
Yeah. I mean, he ran away with rookie of the year that year, snagging 98 of the 100 first place votes. George Mikan is not here, but here we go.
Okay.
Magic Johnson.
Oh, him and Larry Bird, right? Same time.
Yeah. Magic at 7. He was 18 points, 8 boards. 7 assists, 2.5 steals.
I didn't think Magic, was he that? I thought he was just really good at being an assist guy's first year, Dawson.
Well, I mean, he was never a great scorer, never
that's
a prolific scorer.
That's what I was wondering, yeah.
Yeah, 18
that's
points.
That's why they yell him out.
Fair enough.
But he did win the championship his first year, right? So that probably goes in the ledger.
Bill Bradley on this list?
I don't believe
Kareem.
Yeah.
Get the hell off me, man.
They won the first game of the season on a buzzer beater. And like Magic hug Kareem and like he's trying to mob him. And
he wanted nothing.
It's game
Kareem wanted
one
nothing
of 82. Yes.
That is pretty funny. You will get so Johnson. By the way, Magic remains the only rookie in NBA history
Bob
to be
McAdoo.
Named Finals MVP.
Oh yeah, because Kareem got hurt. He had to play center. Dude,
that's right. As a rookie,
yes.
That is just crazy. You get Larry Bird, actually, one spot ahead of Magic. He comes in at number six, does Larry. 21 points, 10.5 rebounds, 4.5 assists, almost two steals as a rookie year, or as a rookie that year. So, but they weren't doing the winning that Magic was with the Lakers that year. Wemby comes in at number five.
Okay.
Wow.
Number five all time. 21.5 points, 10.5 rebounds, 4 assists, 3.5 blocks. Over a steal.
Good for him living up to the hype.
47% from the field. Yes, absolutely, dude. I mean, expectations were as high as they've ever been for anybody.
Yep.
And he met, and I would say even exceeded them.
I think he's got everybody's attention.
As a rookie.
Yeah.
You know?
I hate it.
And now, like, everybody's talking about, I'm seeing so many of the Photoshoppers putting Steph Curry in a Spurs uniform. And I'm like, yeah, dude, Wembanyama is going to... Like, people are going to want to play with him.
For sure. Yep.
So, it sucks that he's on the Spurs. That kills me. But he was phenomenal this year. There's just no way around it. Shaq comes in at number four.
All right.
92-93 was 24 points, 14 rebounds, 3.5 blocks, 2 assists, 56% from the field. He was ridiculous.
4 broken goals.
Yeah, that's true, dude. You got to put that on the tally. Number three was Tim Duncan. Of course, he was, 21, 12, and 3, 2.5 blocks a game, and he was super efficient as well. David Robinson, how about the Spurs having 3 top 5 rookie seasons of all time? He was 24 points, 12 rebounds, and 4 blocks per game his rookie year. My gosh. But Michael Jordan, number one all-time rookie season, 28 points, almost 7 rebounds, 6 assists, 2.5 steals. And over 50% from the field. So MJ, of course, being number one on a basketball list.
Awesome stuff. Thank you, Chief. It is the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Woolchuck will return Wednesday. Okay, send him some love on social there. They got the baby home and everything's great. It is time now to go into the Pimp Cup where Lucius Alexander will have L.A. live when we return right here to the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Thank you, Lucius. We have a baseball 5 o'clock hour coming up. Sands in 15 minutes. Eric Nadell joins you for the Expressway. Then we'll be into the pregame now in less than an hour. Let's do LA Live now. Here he is, Lucius Alexander.
Well, all right, you squares. It's time you smoke. Fire up this funk and let's have a toke. It'll make you dance with some of everything.
The indica flower.
This is LA Live for April 19th, 2024. Yeah, it's a feel-good Friday, y'all. Yes, 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 we made it. LA Live is sponsored by Kissable Dental and their no-bill guarantee. Book online at kissabledental.com. Your kissable journey begins today. Hey, avoid the law dogs this weekend, people. Please avoid the law dogs. Don't get emotional and crash out. Don't let your emotions get the best of you because that's what usually happens right there. Or you get drunk or something like that. You're under the influence or something. Yeah, because the judge won't see you until Monday, too. You got to sit in there in that holding cell. Here's a weekend warning.
This weekend safety briefing. Do not add to the population. Do not subtract from the population.
I'll be the one.
Do not end up in the hospital, newspaper, or jail. If you do end up in jail, establish dominance quickly.
That's right. That's right. Establish dominance quickly. And if you end up in that holding cell... Get bad, Jack. Get bad.
What are you doing?
I'm getting bad. You better get bad, Jack, because you ain't bad. You're going to get f***ed.
Great movie. Stir Crazy right there with Richard Pryor and Gene Wilder. Great movie. Also seen this on the timeline. I'm trying to keep you away from jail this weekend. I want you to have good fun. You know what I'm saying? Don't get in trouble. I seen this on my timeline. There was a prison guard that said it took him months to get used to the smell of prison.
months.
When I walked in that jail for the first time, you know what I smelled? I smelled butt ass. Butt ass. It was so bad. I mean, the funk hit you like, boom. And I asked one of the old timers, the vets, yo, what's up with that smell? He said, don't worry, New Jack, you'll get used to it.
I'm trying to keep you away from that jail, right? I don't want you to be down there at Lusteric or wherever. It's all the other jails around here, I don't know them like that.
Smells like that place when you go to the transfer station, the dump. You guys ever go there?
I don't think.
As you pull through that door, you're like, oh my goodness, yeah. The smell hit you.
Yeah, no,
I left my truck window open once. Yeah. I couldn't get it out for 2 weeks.
Boy, me and my dad was at the dump every other weekend when I was a child. There's always something to dump for him. It's ridiculous. G-Bag of the Day, we do it every weekday on the fan here at 2:30. If you see anything floating out there, don't be afraid to hit me up at Lucky Lucius B on social media. Lucius Alexander on Facebook, or you can follow every last one of us if you find G-Bag Nation on Twitter. Our winner, I don't know how many days this is for this man. I don't know. I have no idea.
I'll bet three.
Okay. Okay. All right. You might be right, bro. But we heard it like 16 times.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's a three-time Hall of Famer right here, Chris Arnold. Where were you when OJ was running away from the LAPD?
Back in the press area, Madison Square Garden, after the chase was about winding up, Robert Kardashian, Kim's dad, and he was representing OJ. He's reading this suicide letter that OJ had written. And we're all standing in the press room. I'm standing next to Ahmad Rashad. And he's going through this letter saying goodbye to people or whatever. And then all of a sudden, he goes, and my good friend Ahmad Rashad, and the whole room looks at Ahmad Rashad. And Ahmad just looks down to the ground, and then he just walks away and got in a limo and just disappeared. Excuse me, Frenchie freaking appeared.
Yeah. That's still funny, bro.
It so is good. Funny, man.
It's a fight weekend. I'm happy about this, and I've been waiting. It's a 420 fight, too, y'all. Garcia versus Haney on DAZN pay-per-view. Garcia has come in 3.2 pounds overweight for the fight. He even hit the scale with a beer in his hand, Dawson.
I saw that. Yeah! That was epic, dude.
What the heck was going on, bro?
Yep, I'm over. Hold my beer. Watch this.
So he will be unable to win Haney's WBC super lightweight world title because he didn't come in, but...
Okay.
Haney said that Garcia honored their press conference bet and will pay him $500K per pound he is overweight. $1.5 million.
Wow.
Whew. A lot of money.
That's a lot of money.
I guess that does kind of confirm what's been maybe making him act erratically, you know? That'd be more of the cold beers than the toot, right? You're tooting your way under, you're cold beering, you're a little over.
I like your theory. Tell me what this is right here. This is how he started his press conference.
With a record of 24-1, 20 knockouts, Ryan King Rai Garcia.
Thank you, the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Jesus is King, King of Kings, King of Kings. No, okay. He is the King of Kings. Jesus is the one above all. Okay. How you guys doing? What do you guys want me to say? I've already said everything. I mean, what do you want me to do? I've already done it all. I've already said it all. I've done it all, and now I'm just ready to kick ass. I'm going there and just f*** this man up. You don't understand. I'm going to f*** him up. You don't know what I've been training like. You don't know the vision I have. I'm on fire. I'm on fire. I'll break this whole thing right now. That's how I'm firing. I'm strong. And I'm louder than that whole team. They got like five people there. Look how loud. Woo! We couldn't hear you, bitch.
Here we go. We have a fight.
Yeah. We got something.
Oh, man.
Wow.
I'd be left speechless, too, after that.
Dude's all over the place.
Lucius, you watch a ton of these. You watch a ton
Nothing
of
like
these.
Nothing like this one.
I'm just going to say, do they have no order in them all? Does nobody ever step in and say, okay, we're going to hear from, or do they ever your question? Yeah, do you have questions from the audience?
There's
some order to these things.
100%, a lot of order. And okay, usually, like this, it falls apart. This is like Ryan is bringing the energy that Tyson brought when he got out of jail.
Okay. Okay.
The black shirt. Okay. When his button was barely buttoned. Yeah. All you seen was chest.
Yeah, okay.
And he was dropping F letters and F words and on people.
Right.
Talking about their kids and stuff.
So there's like real PR people kind of trying to handle
it. He's talking about eating the kids.
But it's chaos, right? It's just chaos, no matter what.
Chaos when Ryan's involved.
All right.
There's a reason they're not in team sports.
I can figure that out. Yeah. I can see that. Yeah.
That is wild. I can't wait to watch that fight Saturday night, see how this is going to go down. What else is wild, too, right here, y'all, on a Feel Good Friday? We are living in a particular time. I'm telling you, they will study this time. We are wilding right now. I don't know if you're paying attention because, you know, you guys watch a lot of sports, but we are wilding.
I catch myself wilding sometimes. I'm like, man, you got to shake yourself.
We're wilding. A man set himself on fire outside of the Manhattan courthouse.
Whoops.
Hello. Where the Trump trial is going on right now. CNN had Laura Coates out there covering the trial. Yeah. By the way, Laura Coates is who Alex Trebek wanted to take over Jeopardy.
Okay.
When he moved on. They didn't do it.
Didn't honor him.
Nah, didn't honor Alex. It's disrespectful. Anyway, she was outside when this fellow lit himself on fire, bro.
Wow.
The courthouse in Manhattan where we are waiting for history to be made. An active shooter is in the park outside the court. We have a man who is lit. He has set fire to himself. A man has emblazoned himself outside of the courthouse just now. Our cameras are turning right now. A man has now lit himself on fire. We are watching a man who is fully emblazoned in the front of the courthouse today. We are watching multiple fires breaking out around his body and person. We have seen an arm that has been visible that has been engulfed in total flames. There is chaos that is happening. People are wondering right now if people are in danger. I'm looking across the courtyard. There is a man racing to his aid. There is coats coming off to try to put out the fire. We have members of security details. NYPD is rushing to the scene. They are trying to come out. Officers are on the scene.
Chaotic right there.
Man, she gave great play-by-play.
She did good. She did real good, man. They said this guy was like into super conspiracies, real deep into that. And that's probably why he reacted this way. He's in critical condition right now.
Mm. Okay, so he made it out.
He made it out. Well, he's in critical condition, but yeah, I guess you could say that.
I mean, geez, dude.
He did protest in a protesting area.
Yeah.
He was in a protest.
There's probably fire stipulations here. Is there like, you can protest here, but here's some of the rules. One of which you cannot set yourself on fire.
I wish X had censored that. I just watched that. Holy cow. My goodness.
They put a little community notes on there for you.
I got one. I think I got one that was just posted like a few minutes ago, so they hadn't like edited it yet. I don't know where the community notes are, but I'm now watching him like post a couple hours before. So
yeah, we are living in a particular time, people. I'm telling you
I mean, that's a historic gesture. That's the monk in Vietnam protesting everything that had been going on 50 years ago. It's quite a political statement that you're making. And he posted on X a couple of hours ago, start a bleeping revolution. You have nothing to lose.
See?
It looks like he's wearing a T-shirt that looked like it was doused in something. I presume gasoline.
Yeah.
And he just took the lighter and just immediately lit the bottom of his T-shirt, and then he just went and up in flames immediately. Holy smokes.
He crashed out, man.
Dude.
Don't crash out this weekend. He crashed out.
I remember.
And then some.
Well, like,
gotta chill.
Back in the day, the Burning Monk, Lucius. You remember seeing that in history?
Yeah, I seen it. Yeah, There's another guy that set himself on fire not too long ago this year.
Yeah.
That is crazy footage, dude.
I mean, even if the worst possible conspiracy about the future of our country is true.
I'm not setting myself on fire.
Yeah, just go somewhere else like move out to the country and ignore it, you know? Mm-hmm. Hang out with your mom. There's lots of options.
Death by fire sounds
awful. Wow, that shook me. I'm sorry.
And it's all over conspiracies.
Wow.
Careful what you read. Yeah. Alizé and weed. That's my time, folks. I hope you have a good weekend and all that other stuff. Enjoy the NBA playoffs. Enjoy the Mavs. Enjoy the boxing. Enjoy the Stars. Stars play this weekend?
Monday.
Okay. I'll be back to see y'all then. That's my time. Lord willing, the creek don't rise. Holla.
Right on, buddy. Thank you. LA Live, Lucius Alexander. Most nights 5:40. Today we did it 4:40 because Rangers baseball, they're in Atlanta. Pregame's coming up at about 5:45. When we return, Jared Sandler's going to join us. Then Eric Nadell will join us. We'll be in baseball paradise all the way to the first pitch next year on your home of the champs.